I hope you have had one great day. It's been a blessing today to be able to worship this morning and now with you tonight. Very thankful to you for your presence. As we become better at what we do, we will open up and do more. One of the things that I want us to do really well is to plan for, and it's been going for some time now in planning, but each one of us has to make plans, is for our gospel meeting, if you want to call it that. We have a lectureship, if you want to call it that. If you have a preference, call it something else. But we have four great days planned, and that's going to begin April 30th, and we'll go through May the 3rd. We have four excellent presenters. John Dale is going to be with us on Sunday all day for the services that we have. And we are going to that day have a family picnic at the park. And I'm confident you'll hear more about that. But we want you to plan to be a part of that day. The families are going to be responsible for their lunch. And following lunch, John will present a brief devotional at the park. We're looking forward to that. We have Keith Parker coming on Monday night to talk about making people feel at home in the church. We have David Shannon coming Tuesday night to talk about the church being God's family. And then Dan Winkler is going to be coming on Wednesday night, and he's going to be talking about surviving family struggles. Some great information, great speakers, and we hope that all of you will be planning that. One other thing in connection with that I would like for all ages that are old enough to hear me and understand what I'm going to ask, to be thinking about giving us a couple of hours on Saturday, the 29th of April. From 10 to 12 in the morning, we are planning on meeting here at the building, and we are going to divide the city of Henderson up into small plots, hopefully, and we're going to deliver one of these to every home in the city of Henderson around. We're going to take this information, and then on the back, we're going to design something to hand to them as well. It'll be just one sheet, front and back. But on the back, we want the city of Henderson to know that we love Henderson's families. And we're presenting not just 4 days about Henderson's families, but we're going to be looking at a lifetime of learning about families, learning about the family of God, and inviting the whole community of Henderson to come to our meeting, but to come be a part of our congregation. That's so very important. It's a way for you to reach out. If you haven't done some of that, we're not asking anything super major big. We're just asking you to come, take some of these, go to a door, and if someone's there, welcome them, hand them a sheet of information, invite them to the meeting, and if no one's there, leave that information for them. But we want everyone that is healthy enough to do it to be a part of it. If we had 5 houses each, that would be neat, wouldn't it? If we had that many people to come. So we would love to invite the university students to be a part of that. If you're in the room and you enjoy doing things like that, we hope that you will want to help us. And we will talk about that a little bit more as time gets closer to that. Okay, tonight, great challenge. Good. This morning, when I stood up to introduce, this section was mostly empty. It's great to see you here, all of you. Appreciate the week of work. Actually, it was several weeks of work getting ready for Lads to Leaders. But thank you. We have those parents and other adults who led and who went and who encouraged and who helped our young people get ready for a great weekend. If you've never been up there, it's pretty amazing to see how much is going on and what all is going on, and to plan and prepare for that is a great blessing. And I appreciate very much what people have done and are doing to help train and encourage and motivate our young people to do some of the great jobs that they are doing in terms of leading in areas of worship and service. Okay, here we go. We've got a sermon to do. I'm ready. I hope you are. And I want you to think about this great passage in Acts 26, 13 through 29. I don't think that it's possible for you on me to muster the mental energy, the psychological effort that it would take to think what it meant to the Apostle Paul to be met on the road to Damascus. You and I might be thinking, wow, he got to meet the Lord. But let me tell you this. He's an angry young murderer in rebellion to the Lord when he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. A totally difficult circumstance, hard to think about, hard for us to envision and put our place, put ourselves in his place. But as we start to think about what is going on here, we want to take a look at a challenge. It's a challenge for every person who's a member of the body of Christ. I was 10 years old when I was baptized into Christ. I remember very strongly the night of a summer gospel meeting, I was baptized. I remember the building. I remember the place. It just seems like most of the time, I don't even have much of a sense of smell now, but it just seems to me every now and then I could even smell what that room was like. That was a very important occasion to me. And I started wanting to do things very quickly. I started wanting to get excited about helping. I wanted to wait on the Lord's table. I wanted to pass out anything that got passed out. I wanted to be doing something. And those folks at that little country church put me to work. We would do things. We would work. We would serve. And I enjoyed that. And I appreciated that opportunity. Some of you remember that? Some of you that haven't done anything in a while can remember back when that was exciting to you. And now it's hard to get excited about. But there's a challenge when we start thinking about simple things like distributing information about a gospel meeting and giving information about our congregation and inviting people. That's such a simple thing, but it's really hard for some people. And we need to think about what a challenge it is. For a little guy like me, when I was 10, it was not much of a challenge. I was excited. But for some people in this room, you're not excited about walking up to a door and knocking on the door. You're afraid, in fact, somebody might actually come to the door. And so it's a challenge. And I don't understand the way some of you do, but I recognize that it is a challenge. When we start thinking about the Apostle Paul, we start thinking about Isaiah in this great vision. When the Lord is giving him a tremendous picture of a need, and the Lord raises the question, who shall I send, and who will go? And Isaiah takes up the challenge. He says, here am I, send me. Haven't sung that song in a good long time, but I used to love to sing that song. Here am I, send me. Lord, send me. I love the song. I love the music. I loved when the congregation sing that. But it's hard to really, right from here out, say, Lord, send me. There are a lot of people at the Henderson Church that could do this, but Lord, send me. It's not possible for us in the comfort level we've had. We've had such a great time of life, comforting. We haven't been at war. We haven't had super rigid religious division that caused people to fight and kill and be ugly the way Paul as Saul of Tarsus did. But Jeremiah lived in a time where people would be beaten, put in stocks, laughed at, mocked at publicly, and they would spit at people, and there were all kinds of pressures and problems. For us, it would be easy to say what Jeremiah initially said here in chapter 20. I said, I will never speak his name again. If you all started throwing things at me and yelling ugly things at me and spitting at me, I don't know if I'd want to get up here again or not. I wish I would. I wish I could say, I guarantee you just throw it. You just spit. You do whatever it is. I'll be right here preaching. I don't know what I would do. I hope I don't ever have to find that out. But Jeremiah knew. And when we take a look at what he says in chapter 20 and verse 9, after he said, I will never speak his name again, he then tells us his word was in my heart, burning like a fire, and it was shut up in my bones. He was ready to take up the challenge. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. Have you ever felt that way? I just can't not teach the gospel of Christ. I've got to go do it. There's a fire burning in my bones. Jeremiah took up the challenge. In Luke 24, there's a great story. I love this story. The road to Emmaus. Two men, after the weekend of the crucifixion of Jesus, they're walking along and Jesus appears to them and they don't recognize who he is. And they're talking and Jesus says, "What is this you're talking about?" And they said, "Are you the only guy in this whole area that doesn't know what's been going on in the city of Jerusalem?" And they began to tell him about Jesus and how high hopes they had for Jesus. And they killed him. They hung him on a cross. They crucified him. And Jesus began to speak to them. What a great sermon it must have been when he preached to them all the things about the Son of Man, from Moses through the prophets, showing how the Christ must suffer and die. They heard that. They took him to a meal, and Jesus then opened their eyes, and they were able to see, this is the guy that was nailed to the cross. This is the guy about whom all of this stuff has been going on. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. This is their response. They rose up that very hour. They saw the Lord in the risen form. And they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered them together. They could not wait. They did it within the hour. It's a great challenge. But in this passage here in Luke chapter 9, you're going to see, you're going to see several things. I wanted to mention, first of all, though, from Paul's experience in chapter 23 and verse 1. He is telling about himself, and he's telling about all the negative, ugly, hurtful things he did to the church. And he is telling them that up to this day, all of those things I did in all good conscience before God, they were not good. But my conscience was good. And so there's the reality of ignorance. There are people in Henderson, Tennessee that are ignorant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to help them. In Acts 26, in verse 15, we're going to see about control and how in chapter 26 and verse 14, how Paul was persecuting the Lord. And we're going to see about how, as we look here in verse chapter 16, God has a purpose. Billy read his purpose was going to be to take the Gentile world the message of God. He's going to open their eyes so that they can see. He's going to reach and get them out of darkness and put them in light. He had a purpose, and he was going to rise to the challenge. Now, in order to take that challenge, he had to change. Change is hard. It's hard for me. I'm from Perry County. When a group of us from Perry County get together, we would talk in such strange ways and have such dumb stories, and we would say different things. And so when we had a group of us that taught at Fried Hardeman from Perry County, they would talk about Perry County philosophy. Well, as a counselor, I have a little bit of Perry County philosophy because somebody will come to me and they'll want some help. Sometimes it's an individual, sometimes it's a couple, sometimes parents will bring children. But after a while, they come and there's no progress. And here's some of my Perry County philosophy. Now, this is deep. I'm not sure some of you will be able to get it. But I will say, do you want to change? Do you want your life to be different? Oh, yeah, that's why we came. And they start telling me all of those things about how they would like for their lives to be better and different and closer to God, closer to each other. And here comes my philosophy. Well, I got to tell you, you cannot change and stay the same. If you want to quit being angry with each other, you're going to have to change. If you want to quit deceiving each other, you're going to have to quit lying. If you want change to come into your life, you've got to not be the same. You see, there's a great challenge, however, to change. You see, Paul, in a way, was asked, what are you doing? What are you doing? why are you persecuting me? Paul thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing God a favor when he stood at the scene where Stephen was stoned to death. He thought he was doing God a favor by putting to death the spiritual movement of Christianity, those people who came to believe in Jesus Christ. He thought he was doing God a favor when he started persecuting the church and he made havoc of the church and spread them everywhere out of Jerusalem. You know, he was doing God a favor because those people took up the challenge to change. They had to change their location of living, but they went everywhere preaching the word. God says, I have a purpose for you. I want you to be a minister. I want you to be a servant. I want you to be a witness to the things that I have opened your eyes to so you can open the eyes of other people. And Billy Red, here's what he was going to do. Open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God to receive the forgiveness of sins and to give them an inheritance among the sanctified. Everything up there required change. You cannot change and stay the same. If you're going to be a great personal evangelist, and you've never done that before, you can't stay the same and change. You can't keep saying, no, I will not teach. You have to take the responsibility to change, and it's a great challenge. You see, Paul said, in a sense, here am I, send me. I'm ready to take up the challenge. He said to those people to whom he was witnessing at that moment, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And when you read the story, those three accounts that Billy mentioned, chapter 9, chapter 24, chapter 26, when you read those, the Bible tells us that Paul was baptized and he immediately begins preaching. He immediately begins preaching. I wasn't disobedient. I took up this heavenly vision. His defense became a great, great sermon. Festus said, Paul, all of your learning has made you mad. Not angry, out of his mind. Paul said, no. I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. If you will listen, you're going to hear the truth, and you will hear things that you can reason to and reason about in a great way. He took up the challenge and he changed, and he even confronted Agrippa. Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And then he said, I know you believe. I know you believe what I'm saying. I know you believe about the Christ. I know you believe about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And you believe he could certainly have appeared to me on the road to Damascus. I know you believe all of that. What a famous song came out of that response. Almost persuaded. Now to believe. Sung that song over and over and over again. Almost persuaded. How many times have you been almost persuaded to do what God has asked that you do? There's probably at least one person in this room, in an audience this large, who's almost been persuaded in the same way that Agrippa was. But you've never responded. You've never become a Christian. But Paul knew. He wasn't guessing. I know you believe. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. One translation says, in a short time, you would expect me to become a Christian. It's what God expects. The same hour of the night, at that very hour, those two guys on the road to Emmaus, when they had their eyes open to Jesus, they took off. There's a challenge to change, but the challenge is not enough. Most of us realize the challenge. What we need to realize is the change. Now, here's what it means for us tonight. Just raise the question in your mind. What would it take? What would it take to get you young people, what would it take to get you to go to school tomorrow and begin to live a life and communicate in such a way that your friends would have a chance to hear the gospel message? What would it take, you parents of these young people, to go to work or wherever it is you go and take up the challenge to let people know about Jesus the Christ and be like Isaiah, here am I, send me. To be like these two guys on the road to Emmaus. They go back and gather people together and begin talking about Christ. To be like the Apostle Paul. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Here I go. What would it take? I've mentioned to you a bunch of times, and I think about it all the time. I never knew my dad. I was just 5 when he died. He was sick most of my life, and so I didn't get to know him. I didn't do things with him hardly ever. I thought so many times about a story one of my older brothers and sisters told about him getting my older brothers and sisters to the hospital room before he died and said, I want you to do 2 things. Some of you heard me say this. I want you to take care of your mom. I don't believe any mom in this world has ever been taken care of better than my mom was by my brothers and sisters who heard my dad say that. But he said, there's a second thing. He said, I want you to be good. I want you to be Christians. I want you to be faithful. Not all of them have done that. I thought, what a great blessing if just once we could go up to Ridgely, Tennessee, at that cemetery that all of us have been around together, I don't know how many times over the last 50 years or so. And my dad to come up out of that grave and say, okay, you really took great care of your mom. I appreciate that. But you've not been faithful. I want you to move. I want you to take up the challenge. I want you to change. I want you to do what God would have you do. I thought many times over, boy, if Dad could just do that one time. But here's what God says about that. If one goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. That's the rich man's concept. But he said to them, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuaded, though someone rise from the dead. Basically, what he's being told, if somebody in this world won't listen to the preaching or the reading, the teaching of God's word, they are not going to listen. It won't matter, even if somebody comes back from the dead. And so my thinking about my dad coming back would be in vain. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't make any difference at all. So, there's a responsibility to think about change. If you're not a Christian, there's a real responsibility to think about change. If you're a Christian, there's still a real responsibility to think about change. Can you say, here am I, send me? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I was not disobedient to the heavenly message? Tonight, great blessing to be here. Opportunities abound to do good. But for some of us, it will require a change. And you can't change and stay the same. If you've been intending to respond to the Lord's invitation, and you've been intending that for years, and you never have, you're still the same. You haven't changed. Do you need to change? If you're a child of God, and you're looking for ways to get more involved, and you think about it, and you see them, and you hear them, but you've never said, here am I, send me, you need to change. Change tonight may call for you to come sometime. Doesn't have to be during this invitation. It'd be great if you did. But for you to come sometime to the Lord and say, I want to repent of my sins. I want to be baptized with Christ. I want my sins washed away. And then I want to tell everybody about the great blessing of salvation that is found in Christ Jesus. Maybe you need that kind of change. It might be that you're a child of God and you just are not living the life of a child of God. If people were following you and they saw your behavior, they would never know you're a Christian. If that's the case, you need a change. Do you need to change? It's what the purpose of this song is about. It's to encourage us, to plead with us. Is there power to change you? We're about to sing, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood of Jesus to clean you up and make you whole and send you on your way a changed person. Please come if you need as we stand and as we sing.